It is a Thursday. It is time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Brian, how are you doing today on this Thursday?
Doing great, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing good. And last week, of course, we talked about the Final Four experience, and now we've kind of got this buffer time, and we're trying to sort out who's going to go pro for KU and what they might do in the NBA and so forth and so on. And I want to start with this. I know that, and I've heard through the grapevine, so forth and so on, that, you know, when you have anything that is controversial, certainly when you have investigations at any level in life, let alone in sports, usually you can't talk too much about those particular things. Even Bill Self said the other day that, I really can't get in too many specifics about the investigation, so forth and so on. So I respect all of that. And I would imagine that you really probably can't talk too much about that. But I would like to ask you about the angle of the one and done players and how that has maybe complicated the landscape when it comes to college basketball in regards to kids that, quite frankly, they are with the one and done rule by the NBA, they have to go to college for a year, or they could choose to try to go overseas. I believe they have that option. And so kids that maybe have really no intent of going to class or don't want to go to class or not looking forward to going to class know they have to go for a year. And then they go for a year knowing that's their plan, although sometimes that plan changes, as we saw with Malik Newman. There's really no repercussions as to anything that would happen to them if they would go ahead, like we saw with Reggie Bush back in the day with USC, that, hey, I'm not planning on being in college for a long time, so I can do whatever I want to do, or people around me can do whatever they want to do, and I don't have to worry about the university because I'm going to be gone after a year. So I don't want to really touch upon the specifics of what's going on at KU. I understand all of that. But I would like to get your viewpoint on just the one-and-done rule and how that does complicate some things.
Well, it's a rule that I think most in the industry probably at this point aren't a fan of. Selfishly, as a college basketball fan, I've always liked it ever since it went into effect, because it meant we got to see Kevin Durant in a college uniform. We got to see somebody like Josh Jackson or Andrew Wiggins come to Kansas and do big-time things. And yet at the same time, with the case you just laid out, you can see why at times it can be problematic. You know, to me, if it's the college season that these guys get is taken advantage of as not only an opportunity to grow as a basketball player and market yourself, but also a chance to grow up as a person, I think it's a great thing. Because if you take a look at what the system was like 20 years ago, for every one LeBron James, there were 15 Corleone Youngs. Wichita East gets drafted late, gets flushed out of the system, never to be heard from again. Guys that got bad advice and went pro way too soon, and it was a watered-down, you know, crop, because you had all these kids that within their inner circle are being told they're the greatest thing ever and you're a surefire first-rounder and you don't make it. Or guys, they go and they get a big contract, but they're 18 years old and they don't have good advisors around them telling them how to invest their money, and they're not prepared for everything that comes with being a pro. I think the concept itself is a good one, in that you're a year older, a year more mature. Hopefully you got good college coaching, not only on the basketball court, but in a lot of the things that folks have in place at various campuses across the country to grow you as an individual, not just as a student or an athlete or a student-athlete, but like we have a program called KU Leads, which has the guys and gals, you know, growing up in a lot of ways in terms of community involvement and leadership training and all of that. And so I know you might have some folks listening today that say, well, what can you really accomplish in 6 months on a college campus? Well, if you set foot on the campus with a mindset like you just laid out, that, okay, well, I'm out of here anyway, so I'm not going to try to invest in myself or anything other than basketball, well, then maybe the answer is not much. But if you actually apply yourself and treat those two semesters as, you know, a chance to better yourself mentally and relationally and in terms of maturity, I think these kids leaving a year later, even the one and done, are so much better for it, because they've grown up so much. And, you know, I think Dick Vitale had the very first take on this 15 years ago, that, you know, these guys that go one and done and they get buried as the 13th man on the end of an NBA bench, they're getting splinters in their backside, not getting any playing time in moments that matter. You go to college, you might only play 35 games, but you're on the court in crunch time taking the shot or getting the defensive stop in the final minute that determines the outcome of the game, and you can grow up so much more as a player. From a marketing standpoint, you know, when you've been on the cover of Sports Illustrated and Street and Smith, Slam Magazine, and all that, because you were a showcase featured college player, I think your earning potential is so much greater at that point. And as we all know, in the NBA, it's about your second contract, not your first. Being a more mature basketball player after a full extra year of seasoning, I think, can put you in a position to have a more immediate impact in your first rookie deal, which sets you up for the big signing on your second contract. All of these reasons are reasons why I like the one and done, and yet I'm in the minority in that regard. And I think that a lot of folks by now, as you spelled out, see a lot of the ways in which it's not a good system. And a lot of coaches would be fine if you saw something similar to college baseball where, okay, you could go straight out of high school to the pros, but if you come to college, you got to stay for 3 years. I don't think you'll ever see that with college basketball, as much as college hoops coaches would love that. But there could be some kind of compromise where it's somewhere in between. And suddenly kids are allowed, once again, to go pro straight out of high school for those that academics just isn't for them. But if they end up staying in college or going to college, rather, maybe it's a two-year setup. I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot of narratives going on right now as to what that might look like. But I guess I lay all that out for you to say that it's not as bad in theory as some make it out to be. There are a lot of perceived advantages that could be there if student-athletes themselves make the most of their time there. And I think in Kansas, we've had some great examples of that. I mean, look at Udoka Azubuike, who right now is making a decision as to whether or not to go pro. I mean, he's grown up so much as a person. And keep in mind, he was 16 when he shows up, right? So, I mean, he's a guy that needed time to mature mentally and emotionally and relationally, in addition to growing as a basketball player. Physically was the only area where he looked the part. Otherwise, he had a lot of growing up to do, and he really has. And now, you know, it extends beyond your time at Kansas in which you're getting mentored. I mean, Bill Self is a mentor and a life coach to these guys well after their days, making sure that, you know, they are able to talk with people that will help them to make smart financial decisions and able to do the right things in terms of who they hang out with and how they're represented. And, you know, that's the type of you know, second father figure that a lot of these guys get in Bill Self. And if you missed out on the college experience entirely, who's going to have your back? Who's going to take that phone call when you need advice? Who's going to be looking out for you? As Bill Self does for all these guys, 10, 12, 15 years beyond their Kansas days. And so I want to say, and I didn't know you were going to bring this up today, so I apologize for the seven-minute monologue, but I think there's more good to come from it than many times the rule gets credit for. Is it flawed? Yes. Will it change? I'm sure it will. But the original reason, you know, that were positives and benefits for these student-athletes to come from this rule, I think are reasons that are quick to get shoved under the carpet and dismissed, but if a student-athlete really wants to make the most of his time, there's a ton to be gained from even 6 or 9 months spent on a collegiate campus. So, you know, that's the experience I've seen a lot of Kansas players enjoy and make the most of, and they're better people, better pros, and better, you know, men going forward because of it. Not everybody takes advantage of it, but I think those that do can benefit a lot from that 1 year in the college game.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Boyd, or call them at 738-5701. I was just in Anderson Insurance Agency yesterday talking with Matt about KU and their run this year and looking ahead to next year and everything else that is going on. He asked me, he says, Brian, coming out to visit again this summer? I said, I don't know. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you coming out to visit people again this summer?
That's the plan, yeah. It's a little bit busier summer this time around because of charity stuff that I do at the Rock Chalk Roundball Classic. We're expanding it this, you know, big 3-day event, and so my June is going to be completely clogged up with that. But I bet in July, we'll just have to push it back a couple of weeks. But we'll definitely have to make that happen. That was certainly my favorite tour stop a year ago, and I don't say that with everybody, obviously. You guys fed me great Mexican food and had great conversation with Matt and Michelle at the time. So definitely looking forward to that. It'll just probably be a little bit later this year.
That sounds good. We look forward to that. Let's go back to when I talked with you last week. We were asking about LeGerald Vick, and then about 10 minutes after we were done with the interview with you, LeGerald announced that he was going to go in the NBA draft. Didn't hire an agent, but mom said he's not coming back. he's made his decision. He's going pro. Now, whether that's going to be drafted, try to hook on with the team as a free agent, go overseas, whatever the case may be. Just tell us a little bit about what you know about LeGerald Vick's decision, because there are some people who believe, well, he didn't come back next year because, one, he wouldn't get as many minutes, this and that. But this is the one thing that really bothers me about some people that are so critical. And KU fans are no better than other fans when it comes to this angle. And that is, we cheer the kid, they cheer the kid, they cheer the kid. Then the kid struggles, then we rip them apart. Some people do, not everybody. Rip them apart on social media. Then they say, well, he's not good enough to be a KU player. He's not going to play a lot next year anyway. Then he decides to go pro. And instead of saying good riddance, which some people do say that, which is cruel, but they say, well, you know, we need him back next year. So now all of a sudden you went from liking him to not liking him to wanting him to come back and saying, well, he's crazy to go pro because he wasn't as consistent as he should have been at the University of Kansas. But I believe he has a daughter. There are so many factors that go into kids deciding to go pro, and a lot of people, average Joes like, that are out there listening right now, don't have any clue sometimes as to the situation that these kids come from, their backgrounds, as to why they might go pro, which may seem earlier than some of us might expect.
Yeah, that's well said. And we never know what the internal situation is until we've walked a mile in that person's moccasins. In LeGerald's case, yeah, I think that, you know, he has a reason to want to earn some money, but at the same time, I think more than anything, he just feels like he's ready. And I think Kansas, quite frankly, is ready to move forward, you know, with the guard they have coming in. And that's no knock to him, but the timing seemed right on both ends because he has shown athletic potential to where teams will want to give him a look. And if it doesn't happen right away in the NBA or the NBA draft, he'll be a D-League guy that works his way up into the league. I mean, Coach Self said at the banquet on Tuesday night, we expect him to be playing for an NBA team next season. And whether that's in summer league or the regular season, you know, they expect him to hook on with someone. And, you know, for Kansas, who has so much coming in, and, you know, we'll get to it in a second, but they just inked another one this morning that you can now read all about. Not even the Quentin Grimes, Devon Dotson types of guys that Kansas is talking about when Bill Self says we're going to be even better next year, even more talented. Now, we can't atone for the loss of experience and senior leadership and the best leadership that Bill Self's ever had in his 15 years at Kansas when you lose Devontae Graham and when you lose a great veteran like Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk. But in terms of getting the type of athlete that will also execute what Bill Self wants and has the mental makeup and all of that Bill Self, you know, has strived to instill in all his guys, I think he's really excited about this group of guards coming in. And clearly, you know, it's not going to replace Devontae Graham. You know, when you take an 18-year-old to try and fill in for a 23-year-old who has four Big 12 titles, a Final Four, and all that. But we've told you time and time again, ever since he signed in the fall, Bill Self thinks that Grimes is the best guard in the entire class, not KU's class, the country. And he feels like Devon Dotson could step in and compete and start right away as well, also a McDonald's All-American, more of a true point guard than a point scorer, but terrific, terrific talent as well. And so I think for Kansas, with everything that they have coming back and with the up-and-down season that LeGerald had where consistency was an issue at times, and you know, to call it like it is, he got taken out of the starting lineup for a couple of games in February, which is very rare. When you're normally, you know, established with your rotation and your starting group and all that, you know, I think that he's shown enough promise that if the NBA was serious about him, he could give a look. And he'd also had enough inconsistency that it was going to be hard next year to imagine him starting over a Quentin Grimes or somebody like that. And, you know, in his eyes, he probably thought, well, as a senior, I'm either going to need to be the man next year and you know, go out and post 20 a game and be the guy, or I need to go ahead and kick the tires on making money now because I've grown into my body. I'm one of the best athletes in the country. 6'6", there's a lot more I need to add to my game in terms of consistency, but in terms of the measurables that you get drafted on and the upside type stuff, he checks those boxes pretty well. So, you know, it's a roundabout way of telling you that I think that this was something that the KU was supportive of, in part because Bill Self always helps his guys make the best decisions for them. And if they have a chance to get drafted and the earning potential is at an optimal level, he's going to let he knew at that particular spot on the wing, he had talent coming in, and it was going to be not a log jam, but it wasn't going to be a situation where the Gerald was going to be showcased next year anyway. And folks might say, how can you say that when you just lost 90% of your three-point shooting and all that? I think Bill Self is that, you know, impressed with what he has coming in and what they're still trying to sew up when it's all said and done for next year's roster, that they felt like the plan was in place to move forward, and a plan to move forward with a new crop and a new page turn. So I think good for both Kansas and LeGerald. He made the most of his 3 years here, got to go to a Final Four, got to be an honorable mention all-league guy, and we'll always remember his time finally here. At the same time, Coach Self's fired up about the new guys he has coming in. So, you know, win-win on all sides. Along with the guy that isn't going to come in and light, you know, the league up or anything right away. Self thinks he has the type of skill set at 6'5", 195 to be a Travis Rutherford-type perimeter defender that can make an immediate impact defensively and then become more of an offensive talent as the seasons go by. And you might remember Rutherford took a red shirt in the middle of his career, not before it started, to ultimately go on to just finish shy of 1,000 career points and be a great, great player. And I don't know what the plan will be for Ochai, but I think that's another guy that steps in and contributes on the wing, along with K.J. Lawson, along with Sam Cunliffe, along with a lot of guys that you're expecting to take a big step next year. So they'll be just fine in that regard. I think that they're still lacking is a surefire three-point shooter. And clearly, McGerald could do some of that, but he wasn't going to be a 100 threes in a season type guy like Devontae and Spee were. So that's the thing that's still out there trying to shore up for next year.
Okay, so speaking of next year, and ask you to project who you think will be the five starters for KU. We're not going to hold this against you. If you're wrong, we won't play it back in your face later on next year. We won't do that to you. Assuming Udoka's back, how do you think KU might start the season with their lineup?
Matt Tate had a really good piece about a week ago in which he spelled out a whole bunch of different lineup possibilities, and some of them were kind of silly, like, what if they went way small? What if they went way big? You know, all this stuff. But the point of his article was they're going to have more positional versatility with now the depth of bigs that we haven't seen in a couple of seasons, and haven't seen in quite some time when you look at the quality of bigs that should be coming back if Udoka elects to return. But to me, I think it's a question of, does Charlie Moore take over the starting job at point guard, or does Devon Dobson, as a McDonald's All-American freshman, come in and start right away at the point? Because to me, if Udoka comes back, he and Diedrich are locks. Yep. Quentin Grimes is a lock. I think Marcus Garrett, though not a lock, is a likelihood. And the reason why is he does so many defensive things that a coach like Bill Self just loves having on the floor. And obviously his shot's got to get better. And Greg Gurley's convinced that he'll work on his mechanics this year. You're going to see it look way different. It's kind of a helicopter side scan type release. Yeah. That obviously doesn't look pretty coming off the hands. And the results at that 27% from downtown weren't pretty either. But he's a kid with a great work ethic. And I think the other intangibles that he brings, a guy that Bill Self back in October said was his best perimeter defender as an 18-year-old on a team with, 23-year-old Devontae Graham. What did that say?
Yeah.
So I think for that reason, even though it's not flashy, it's not sexy, I think for that reason he would be my next most likely guy to be in the lineup. So if you're asking me for it right here, right now, April the 12th, I would say Grimes, Garrett, Lawson, Azubuike. And then it just depends on the summer and fall that Charlie Moore has and how quickly Dotson gets integrated. But Charlie is a completely different guy than he was in July when we were getting set to go to Italy. In July, he looked small and, I don't want to say soft, but he hadn't had a year with Andrea Hootie yet and didn't have some of the confidence and swagger that he has now. Now I watch him on the red team, and he's running down the floor. He's looking like a guy that I can believe scored 12 a game at Cal as a freshman, only now you think he could do that at Kansas. And there's a difference, by the way. I mean,
yes,
guys can get numbers anywhere if you're on an offense that needs you to get numbers. But to get numbers at Kansas, where there's a lot of mouths to feed, it takes another type of caliber of player. Just look at the transition that Sam Cunliffe tried to make as a 10-point-per-game type guy at Arizona State to now KU. It's harder. And I think Charlie Moore was not in position to be that guy last July, but I think he will be by the fall. I'm not predicting 12 points a game, but he could be a guy that gets you double figures if you needed it. So, to me, that's the big question. But I guess if you want me to hedge my bets, I'll say give the nod to the true freshman McDonald's All-American and have Charlie come off the bench. But don't be surprised at all if a third-year guy that has some inner-city Chicago toughness to him, something Bill Self loves in Charlie Moore, is the guy that's, at least at the start of the season, bringing the ball up the court.
All right, final question before we get to the off the wall. We address Fee and Devontae and Malik and their NBA draft statuses last week where they might be able to go in the draft. One thing I haven't heard much about is Billy Preston. What are you hearing about Billy Preston in regards to his potential of being drafted?
Great question. And, you know, I hadn't thought about Billy until I saw him in the team hotel saying hi to some folks down in San Antonio, and it was neat that he got to come back and be there to support the guys. I think when I look at mock drafts, you know, you don't see him where you thought you would anymore, and yet at 6'10", 245, with that type of athleticism, he's going to get drafted. It might be early second, might be mid-second, depends on how these workouts go between now and June, but clearly, when he took the money to go over to Bosnia, that didn't enhance his stock. He didn't play over there very long at all, and never had any film on tape at Kansas other than the showdown for Elite versus Mizzou that they would really show scouts a whole lot. So he has legendary, you know, hype coming out of high school and you know, everything we thought he was going to be as of last October. But now there's a big gap between October and March where scouts are basically thinking, okay, show me what you got, because we haven't seen or heard from you in a long time. And we know the measurables are still there, but you know, that's a guy that he did get a lot better in the 3 months of practice he had with Kansas. We were talking about the benefits for one-and-dones earlier, but he never got that game experience. And so he missed out, largely. And so I'm real curious to see, you know, in a league that drafts a lot of times just based on how you measure out and what they project you to be as opposed to what you already are, I think he could still be an early second-round type guy, maybe even late first, depending on who's drafted there, you know, when the pick rolls around. But I think he's a guy that it'll take longer now for him to be the immediate impact type guy that he could have been had he had a 35-game season at Kansas or a 39-game season as it would have been, you know, of being a starter and a guy with a ball in crunch time and a guy making plays. If he's guarding Amari Spellman, maybe it's a different outcome for Kansas in the national semifinal game, and maybe we're talking about him as a consensus lottery pick. So there's an example of a guy that would have really benefited in terms of his stock had he been given the chance. But I think it's late first, early second, and I'll be cheering for the kid because I enjoyed getting to know him at the time he was here. But it's really unfortunate that he never had a chance to truly strut his stuff, because his earning potential as a draft pick, I mean, he would have been a top 10 caliber guy had he played a pivotal role in getting Kansas to San Antonio. And That's unfortunate that never came to play.
That's interesting you say that, because had he played, that would have helped his stock. But then knowing what we know now, had he been able to go straight from high school to the pros, his draft stock probably would be higher than what it's going to be.
Yeah, but the question is how much higher,
right?
Because it would have been last year that he would have been drafted, hypothetically speaking, right?
Yeah.
And last year he was between 10th and 18th in his high school class. Yeah. So where would he have been in a draft class? Yeah. Does that equate to between 22nd and 32nd? Right. I mean, I don't know, because you got college and foreign players mixed in.
Yeah.
But to me, much like Trae Young vaulted his stock dramatically from an 18th overall rated guy out of high school, I think the same would have been true with Billy. And think about how much more marketable Trae Young is now versus a skinny kid out of Oklahoma Norman North High School that nobody really knew anything about a year ago. I mean, it's night and day different what he'll be able to do from a marketing standpoint. And that's where the one and done thing, I think, does have a lot of benefit.
Yep. Well, of course, you know, you got to play. You know, Billy didn't get a play, and so hindsight's 20/20. Whereas Trae did, and that certainly helped him. There's no question about that. And then also, you don't know like what kids are going to come out early. You know, last year and this year, who's going to be available, and then the kids overseas that you don't know a lot about that might take draft. They'll consume some of the draft picks on the 2-round draft night. That's also something you have to factor in too that we don't know about until draft night. All right, time for the off the wall question. What's your favorite guilty pleasure snack? Your favorite guilty pleasure snack?
Wow. You know, I'm one of those guys that's for Halloween, I always get Snicker bars, and then I put them in the freezer. And then when they're gone in mid-November, I justify going out and buying another bag and putting them in the freezer. So, you know, it'll be late at night. I don't want something too substantial, but I want something sweet, and I'll go downstairs and I get a frozen Snickers out of the freezer. And I end up doing it year-round, but it all starts in usually mid-October when you see all those bite-sized, fun-sized Snicker bars, and you think, you know what, the freezer needs some of those. And next thing you know, you've been doing it for 9 months straight.
I think I might have asked you that question before, now that you say the Snicker thing, so my apologies, because I have lots of different guests I have on, and I run the off-the-wall questions, and I don't track it in a journal. I probably should. So let me rephrase this. What would be something that you, besides the Snickers, something that you munch on to get you through the day, besides the Snickers? Like, do you need some protein? I mean, is there something that you use when you're kind of feeling a little bit low energy or dragging a little bit?
We have these treats at the DeBruce Center called a crimson and blue parfait, and it's yogurt with granola and it's got blueberries and strawberries in there.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the crimson and blue, right? The red
right.
and the blue.
Sure.
And I don't know how healthy it is because it's probably super sugary yogurt, but I tell myself it's healthy because it's got granola and fruit in it.
Sure.
But I'll go get one of those mid-afternoon as opposed to coffee or something, and I tell myself, you know, oh yeah, I'm making a smart, health conscious decision. But really, it tastes great, and it's a reason to get out of the office for a little bit. But if you're ever visiting the Original Rules or stopping by to check out the Field House, come find me in the Wagner Center, and I'll treat you to a crimson and blue parfait. That goes for anybody listening today. Not
I like it, buddy. Hey, thanks for the time, and we'll talk. I think we're going to talk in 2 weeks. Is that right, as we get ready for the spring game?
Yeah, we'll get set for the April 28th Kansas football spring game, and then we'll have a spring game wrap-up the following week. A lot going on that we're excited about on the gridiron, too, so I appreciate you allowing us to include the reports through spring football, because it's an important year, obviously, and we feel like David Beatty's got a ton of defensive talent coming back, and really excited to talk more about Myles Kendrick at quarterback and how he's mixing in with Stanley and company. So we look forward to those conversations later. We'll probably talk, I guess, on the 26th the next time I talk to you.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you here in 2 weeks. Be safe, and we'll talk to you then.
Sounds good, bud. Take care.
Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks here, brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.